You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross. Hopefully you had a good Wednesday night. Kings back in action today against the Miami Heat. Game four of this season-long six-game road trip. But thank goodness they got the win on Tuesday in Orlando on the amazing day by Garrett Temple. Speaking of Garrett, we will check in with him today from our weekly radio conversation that Damian Barling and I have with him on the lowdown. So we will revisit that. Also, we caught up with Sam Amick for a few moments as well, kind of get more focused in on that George Hill rumor trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we'll do some of that today on the Locked On Kings podcast here. And we'll preview the Miami Heat. But first, I want to tell you what the news from the day from Wednesday, as the NBA announced the Kings guards Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic had been selected to go into the Rising Stars weekend, the Rising Stars game. This marks the second straight year for Buddy Hield that'll participate in the World Team after earning the honor back last year in 2017 as a member of the Pelicans. Joining Hield and Bogdanovic on the World Team are guys from the Sixers like Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Dario Saric, also Dylan Brooks, Chicago Bulls' Lauri Markkanen, the Denver Nuggets' Jamal Murray, the Knicks' Frank Ntilikina, and the Indiana Pacers' Domantas Sabonis. So I think it's cool that those two guys will be representing the Sacramento Kings in that weekend. Just some numbers on the two. First for Buddy, he's now in his second year, averaging 12.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, almost 2 assists, 24 minutes per game, all career highs as far as the field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage. He currently ranks 6th in the NBA in three-point percentage. Now for Bogdanovic, of course, his first season for the rookie is averaging 11.4 points, shooting 48 from the floor, 39-4 from 3, 82-9 from the free throw line, 2.7 rebounds, 3 assists in about 26 minutes per game. In the month of January, his averages, though, are up almost 15 points, 3.5 rebounds, 4 assists in the 11 games so far. So it's been a little bit of a drought, though, for the Sacramento Kings. Prior to this year, Sacramento has featured 11 players to be named in the Rookie and Rising Stars Challenge game dating back to 1994, with the most recent being Isaiah Thomas in 2013. Tyreek Evans did earn the MVP honors of the game as a rookie in 2010. So if you go back, Isaiah Thomas was the last one in 2013, DeMarcus in 2012, Tyreek and DeMarcus in 2011, Tyreek and Omri in 2010. That's when Tyreek was the MVP. Hedo in 2002, Jay Will in 2000, Michael Yogi Stewart in 1998, Tyus Edney in 96, Brian Grant and Michael Animal Smith in 95, and Bobby Hurley was an honorary coach back in 1994. So it's been a while, but it's good to see those two guys playing as a part of the festivities in Los Angeles coming up next month. All right, now, the Kings are going on out there. Not even news from so much for the day on Wednesday, but some rumors about George Hill moving from the Kings to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Rumors are still out there, still a lot of speculation. On our show on the Lowdown, we caught up with Sam Amick, covers the NBA for the USA Today, and we started by asking him, Damian and I, about what's the latest on the Cavs and Kings rumored deal?
Other than the fact that it's not, you know, something that was happening this morning, I think my question was, is this going to get done? Are we getting closer? I don't know all the particulars of what's slowing it down, but no indication right now that it's definitely happening. But, you know, again, was also something that was being substantiated quite a bit yesterday. So not dead, but I think just still working on it.
And there's a lot of there's not the certainty of what this entirety of the deal is. Do you have any more clarity on what kind of it all might look like?
No, but I mean, you can assume, you know, the Kings would love to come out of a deal like that with some sort of draft pick considerations, even if it was a second rounder. You know, the Cavs have their own first round pick, but, you know, I don't think you're getting that in this deal. You know, then you have roster considerations. They need to clear one roster spot. I know, and I had not confirmed this independently, but the reports about Scal being shopped and Malachi, you know, I tend to agree with the fans and media members who criticized that and said that seems like the wrong direction to go, losing young prospects simply to get off of money that you chose to give somebody last summer. So we'll see how that part unfolds. But the Kings also have, I think, some leverage here, because I don't think the Cavs, I mean, listen, I don't know everything that's on their table in terms of possibilities, but to me, George Hill does fill a need for him, or for them rather, if he's able to stay healthy. And a lot of the other guys that they've been inquiring about and connected to are either too tough to get or just not available, like a Paul George type with Oklahoma City. So I feel like Cleveland probably really would like to get this thing done.
Sam, I'm glad you said that because I wanted to ask you, what is Cleveland's angle with this? Like you said, George Hill fits the need, but we're watching the Cavs from afar, and they're a mess the last 15 games, and it feels significantly worse than any LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers / Miami Heat mess that we've had in recent years. What does George Hill do for them?
Well, I know this is a little overly simplistic, but like yesterday when I wrote this news story on the trade talks, the way I had put it is that he's George is 9 months removed from having helped a Western Conference playoff team on a pretty high level. In the first round against the Clippers when he was with Utah, I think he averaged like 14-5-3, something like that. I should pull that up to make sure I have it right. But, I mean, he was productive and his percentages were pretty good. And, you know, health was a problem at that time. The left big toe knocked him out of the second round series against the Warriors. And he's also a guy that's logged or who has logged 83 career playoff games. And so from San Antonio to Indiana, and the fact that he's, I think, 31, it just checks a box in terms of another vet who knows how to play in the playoffs, who plays both ends of the floor. And when you got Isaiah Thomas and Derrick Rose as your point guard options, I think, you know, having a guy who's long and who has a little bit of the skill set is going to be helpful. But again, it's kind of hard to reconcile that with the George Hill that we've been seeing this year because it's been inconsistent. He's had some moments, but it's not the same guy who kind of had league-wide respect and, you know, was more consistent in the past.
Sam, the fact that he has even another year on his contract, there's a third one, there's some buyouts, there's some non-guarantees there, partial guarantees, I should say. But the fact that he has another full season under his belt under this current contract next year if he were to go to Cleveland, do we read in anything about that as far as what that does in with LeBron's future, Isaiah's future, anything, a safeguard if those guys leave? I mean, how do you read that part of why they would do the deal?
No, I think they would be kind of swallowing hard on that year if they did do it, and that's where maybe they end up walking away, maybe they don't do it, because listen, I've been struck by the fact that by all accounts the Cavs have not been willing to give up that Brooklyn first round pick that they got in the Isaiah Thomas Kyrie Irving trade in trade talks to this point. That's the only piece they have that's really going to get a big time deal done, and they've shown a reluctance to use it because the fear is LeBron's going to leave and we're going to be left holding the bag and we're going to wish we never gave that pick up. But the way that it's been described to me that I'm fascinated by from a psychology standpoint is that it potentially becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you choose not to, you know, fire off every bullet in the gun to keep a player of LeBron James's caliber, then, you know, you force LeBron come summertime to assess the situation. Remember that you didn't do everything you could have done to improve life with him. And instead of doing that, you got ready for life without him. So it's an interesting dynamic. And, you know, and so that's why they're in a tough situation with George. I think the swallowing hard part is that if LeBron leaves at that point, they would rather be able to clear the decks across the board and not have any dead money, so to speak. And no offense to George, I'm just saying that if it's a rebuilding team and you got $19 million to a guy who's not, you know, top 10 point guard in this league, that's not the kind of contract you want to have at that point.
Yes or no? January 24th, LeBron James is playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers next year.
Yes, on January 24th, he will be.
well played. I set myself up for that. Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today.
To answer your question, Damian, I'm leaning towards him leaving. You know, the playoffs are going to matter a great deal. But right now, the vibe is really bad, and nobody in his camp works very hard to quell speculation. So I'm going to say that he's wearing a different jersey next year.
Now, always good to get insight on where this deal is and certainly what's going on with the Cavs. They've had a tough stretch as of late, but let's get more into this Kings perspective on things. If it's George Hill for what has some also been reported as Channing Frye and Iman Shumpert, maybe even a future pick in there, a second-round pick, I don't know that I love it. I don't know that I hate it. I expressed that yesterday. But when you start talking about a few other guys maybe being involved or a third team, I need to see what the full deal is. I'm not that ecstatic about putting Scal in any kind of a deal. Malachi, I'm okay with that. But it just, what else are you getting? I feel like if you're going to package either of those guys into some sort of deal, you can get more than just a your salary dump for another team's salary dump, right? I mean, I think that's what's going on here for the most part. I'd like to see the Kings get a little more if that were the case. But these are all rumors. We don't know exactly where this is going, but we'll keep our eye on that certainly here on Locked On Kings. Now, from the game on Tuesday, the star of the night certainly was Garrett Temple. We heard some sound from him in yesterday's podcast, but we had a chance to catch up with Garrett on the lowdown again. Damian Barling and myself were on each and every day, 12 to 3 on Sports 1140. And Damian started by asking Garrett on, you know, the day after how he was feeling after the great performance.
Last night was good personally, man. Something was much needed. You know, obviously, like you said, it's in a different type of situation, not playing every game. And so when you do get out there, sometimes you may feel like you're not in rhythm. But last night, you know, I got to give some credit to George early on pregame. He told me how the bigs were going to be defending me because he played for Frank Vogel. And I got a couple of mid-range jumpers to fall early on. He told me that the bigs would be pretty far back, so to look for that jumper. And then, you know, it was all downhill from there, man, uphill from there.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. De'Aaron leaves kind of early in the game. There's a questionable return. Then he doesn't return. So you play 40 minutes. You play out the entire second half. But, Garrett, you ran the point a lot, and kind of what you're saying there, it felt like they were going under screens, leaving a lot of things open for you. Did playing the point and kind of facilitating the offense help in kind of your big scoring night?
Yeah, no question. You know, I was playing the point a lot, and they weren't necessarily going under the screens, but they were the big men who were guarding the pick and roll were drifting, were dropping way back, so the mid-range shot was there as long as our big set screens and they really scale. Papa, they did a great job of setting good screens for me, and I was able to knock a few down, like I said, early. And then, you know, the rest was what it was.
Mid-range city lives.
Yes.
For the Sacramento Kings. Garrett Temple of your Kings with us here. When you're, I mean, you were 14 to 17 last night, Garrett. When you're shooting like that, when you get to the fourth quarter, which was your biggest quarter of the night, does the game feel different for you?
It did, man, because I honestly didn't even realize I had 19 in the fourth. I just felt like I was, you know, I felt like I made a few shots, if you know. And then somebody told me I outscored the whole Orlando team in the fourth quarter. I think our guy Chris Clark told me that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that. You know, but every shot felt good. You know, every shot, when I let it go, it felt like it was going to go in. Like I said, I got to credit a lot of my teammates. You know, Vince gave me three or four great assists, especially the one he drove baseline and then was able to kick it back out. He still got that hang time, man,
yeah.
To the top of the key. And, and then the one-on-one shots I took, they just felt good. I was able to get some space, man. And, you know, like I said, when you're in a rhythm like that, you feel like everything is going to go in. And, you know, basically in the fourth, everything did. So.
Yeah, I think it was the one right after that, Vince, top of the key, where he's hanging under the basket, throws it to you. I think it was the next sequence or maybe two later where you were definitely rolling and you took like a big stride left and angle jump, but it was like it was contested, but it just looked like you were confident, felt like you would make it, and of course you did. I think is that the moment you're talking about where you just felt like, hey, no matter what you were doing, it was going to work?
Yeah, no question. I definitely felt, I mean, at that point, I think there was a two-point game or maybe it ended up being a four-point game after I hit it. I was just looking to try to get the ball and make plays for everybody. But like you said, but before then, honestly, I felt like whatever I was going to put up was going to go in. It was just, you know, the rim felt pretty big, probably around the five-minute mark in the fourth.
For those keeping track, it was Garrett Temple 19, Orlando Magic 17.
That's awesome.
There in the fourth quarter, it snapped an 8-game losing streak. Garrett, you guys are in the national news over the course of the last couple of days as trade rumors are circulating around the Sacramento Kings and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are those things that are talked about in the locker room amongst you guys?
They're talked about. you know, amongst guys. Locker room, maybe not in the locker room per se, but, you know, amongst guys individually and in groups of guys, there's definitely talk about. I mean, everybody knows what, you know, we see the rumors. As much as people want to say we don't pay attention to the rumors, you know, guys look at Hoops Hype to see what's going on around the league. And guys know when their teammates or themselves are in rumors. So that's something you talk about, and you maybe just want to know what if there's any truth, any validity to it. You know, 65-70% of the time, there's really no validity to it. So, but it's definitely something that we talk about. Not it doesn't distract us at all, but it's definitely something to throw around.
Yeah, but you've been around. You know, I mean, you got a roster filled with young players. What do you tell some of those guys, even if they're thrown out in a rumor or two that may never even happen? But what would you tell to the younger guys that are trying to comprehend this?
No question. You know, I've had a couple of young guys honestly come to me and ask me over the last couple of days what should they do if they were to be thrown in a trade and then waived, or thrown in a trade and going to a different team. And I, you know, cause I've been in so many situations where I've been waived, I've been on a different team, you know, two or three different teams in a season. And I just try to tell them just to continue to work, as cliche as it sounds, just to continue to put in the work. Whatever people think of you, if you go to another team, you know, you have a chance to, whatever negative things people think of you, if you go to a different team, you have a chance to, you know, redesign your what people think of you. And but at the end of the day, as long as you put in the work and work hard, most of the time good things are going to happen and people are going to have good things to say about you.
You know, these are the moments listening to Garrett talk right there that I think is a good reminder for Sacramento Kings fans why the front office went out and got veterans like Garrett mm-hmm. Temple and George Hill and Zach Randolph, because it's still teaching the life of being a basketball player. It's not just on the court, but it's things like that, giving advice to young players like Malachi Richardson and Scalabissiere, whose names are thrown out there. So that is an invaluable trait for a veteran. You guys have had so many highs and lows, you know, through the last few weeks, and you have that, you know, you have that big game last night, Garrett, and your teammates dump water on your head. Like it feels like through all the highs and lows, you guys have stayed completely level. Is that a fair assessment from afar?
I mean, we've been pretty level. You know, at the end of the day, like I said, it's difficult for us because this personally is a different situation. 40 games in, you know, but we have stayed pretty level, man. You know, that's a credit to, honestly, the front office in terms of getting good guys. We have guys that are, you know, the young guys, the guys that listen for the most part. We don't have any, for lack of a better word, assholes on our team, you know. And, you know, so when you do that, you enjoy being around the people that you work with. And it's a joy to come to work each day. No matter what type of record you have. And that's one thing that we can say. We have a group of guys that enjoy being around each other. And, you know, that's really all you can ask for.
So the game ends. It's career best night. Damian mentioned the guys pour water on you. Everybody's happy. The win streaks,
right.
The losing streak's over. You have a career night. How many texts, calls, messages, tweets? I mean, what was that like for you?
Man, first of all, that water was cold. Malachi got me on that one. I got to get him back. I'm always the type of guy to check. I never check my messages or look at my phone, honestly, until basically after I leave. So on a road game, after I get on the bus, and my mom usually has texted me by then. I've been called and left a voicemail at least. But I think I had like, you know, 50 some odd text messages, obviously notifications on social media and stuff like that. And, you know, people just congratulating me and telling me that, you know, they're happy for me. The good things are, you know, hearing my teammates talk and, you know, obviously hearing what Coach had to say and other coaches that I played for in my career talk about how much they're proud of me and glad it happened to a guy like me.
That's
so
cool.
You know, those type of things is always something I cherish and I'm happy about.
You're a quality guy, man, not only in the league but on the Sacramento Kings. There's no question about that. But you're in South Beach, man. We're going to need y'all to stay out of trouble. I'm not worried about you, Garrett. I'm going to put that out there. I'm not worried about you, but I'm worried about some of the crew. You got a lot of young teammates out there, man. The South Beach flu is a real thing, man. You got to keep you guys focused.
Hey, we do have a lot of young guys, but, you know, one thing, we got 2 days here after the game, so guys can make sure that they relax.
Okay.
That's a veteran.
All right, cool.
Get some rest tonight. You know, we had last night. Get some rest tonight. And then, you know, after the game and then the next night, you do what you do.
I'll tell you what, GT. You take your Instagram page, and I want you to Instagram story you telling those young players out there that, hey, don't party in South Beach tonight. Just wait till the game's over to party. I want to see how that goes over.
Hey! I don't know. I can't promise you that.
Okay. All right. Well, hell of a run last night, man. Congratulations. Yes. You were alluding to it. I'll say it couldn't happen to a better person, a better player. We're happy for you. Get another one in a tough Miami team tomorrow night.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, D. Appreciate it, brother. Y'all have a good one, man.
I just love the guy. I love his perspective. Love his energy. So glad that he had his best game as a professional. And he's going through all this stuff, too. Heck, he may be a guy that could get traded. I don't want him to, but you could see why a team would covet his leadership, his likability, his defense, and then certainly when he has offensive games like that, my goodness, his value just goes crazy high. But I still like him here, and hopefully he could be a part of this team's future. Tonight, though, the Kings play the Miami Heat, and 4 days in Miami, or 4 nights. Kings got there after the game in Orlando. They'll be there tonight. They'll stay even another night. And aren't leaving until for San Antonio until Saturday. So they are going to be in Miami for a while. But Miami's impressive. No All-Stars on this team. They're the fourth seed in the East and 27-20. Without an All-Star, with some injuries, what they do well is they defend. They're the fourth toughest team to score on. The last game they played against Houston, in which Tyler Johnson and Goran Dragic, their top two point guards, were out. So then they had to kind of modify their lineup. And you'll see names tonight like Josh Richardson, who's having a good year, Hassan Whiteside, you know, James Johnson, the ex-King, Wayne Ellington, Justice Winslow, Derek Jones Jr. is an amazing athlete, Bam Adebayo, who they like as another big. They've done this year without Deion Waiters. They're just well-coached. I mean, they are really, really well-coached. They come prepared to play every night, and they're a pain to play. They're not easy to beat. So the Kings are going to have to be on their game. It is going to be a tough game. And then we gave you the stat the other day, in all the years in Sacramento when the team has been good, when they've been bad, or they started bad, then got good, then got bad again, they have only won 3 times in the history of the Sacramento Kings in Miami, 3-26. And that's with teams with Vlade, Peja, Weber, and so on. I mean, man, it's going to be difficult for this team tonight to take on this Miami Heat team. Last time they won there was 2001. So they broke a losing streak the other day of 8 games. Now it's trying to break a long losing streak of road losses in Miami. We will be back tomorrow, though, to break it all down and answer your questions from the Friday mailbag, too. We'll do all that tomorrow in another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.